This is a homebrew podcast.
Grondel? Hey, Grondel, are you in the bathroom still?
Yeah, what do you need? Occupied!
Here, I'll slide up. You got a couple letters? I don't even know how they found us or mailed these to us, but they showed up taped to the bay door. Here, I'll just slide them underneath the door.
Thanks. Yeah, these are new members of the crew, Zaldwin.
New members of the crew? Hey, we're running out of space on the ship. What do you mean? Who's joining us?
Yeah, we got Chris and Soulless Ginger joining the crew. So welcome aboard.
I'll see you
in the cavern.
Oh, okay, Grondel. You know, fiber helps, I've heard. Okay, I'm going to go now.
Welcome back to the Homebrew. I am Grant Milkey, greased up camera guy, joined by Austin Brady.
Mordecai, the walking corpse.
Cody Smith.
Carl Gauss, radio personality.
John Cayley.
Nivitz Pozu, donut enthusiast.
And Tyrell Nye.
Billy Boom, space pirate extraordinaire.
Pippin wins the subtitle award for the week. Good job, Pippin.
As I always do, thank you.
Keeping it fresh. Good job. Last time on the Homebrew, the crew solved the lost puzzle, collected all three keys, and faced the elf from Mordecai's vision. Eve, the Guardian's blessing, found the next council, and Carl recorded the unfamiliar star map. A recap is not going to do the last couple episodes justice, guys, so please make sure you go back, listen to episode 25 and 26. Pretty good stuff. A lot of fun. But crew, here we are. We are in back in the tomb. You're surrounded by the perfectly even, smooth stones that, you know, build up these lost ruins. You're in an empty room now that you've already interacted with the console, and there's nothing but stairs that lead back up into the tunnels where you came from. You have leveled up, but you have not rested, and you do not know exactly how long has passed either from you are being in the vision. You guys are totally free to roll an insight check on that, but you just as a reminder, I think Billy's at like 8 health. I think everyone's out of everything. You guys are, I think, just now remembering, coming out of the vision, that you guys are pretty beat up right now.
I'm max health. I don't know what you're talking about.
Max health is... Right, you are max health. That is correct.
I'm not too bad, but I am out of all my stuff.
I'm not feeling the greatest.
My poor robot boy got destroyed, so I'm going to have to find a new way to build him.
Nivitz is definitely not feeling great. Very drained.
You feel pretty disoriented, Mordecai. You're not quite able to get a grip on like how long has passed or how much time has passed.
So wait, where? What are we? We're out, right?
You're out of the vision. You are basically in a simple stone rune. There's stairs the way that you came. There's stairs back out into the tunnel system where you came from.
That's it. The only direction.
That's it. That's all that's in the room. Yep.
Ah, shit, guys. Well, should we go scout it out?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Mordecai is going to kind of move up the stairs and see if there's like a threshold or whatever.
Right. So, I mean, you have seen this area before. As you walk up the stairs, are you being sneaky or are you just prancing? Or explain to me what's going on here.
Being very cautious. Yeah. But I wouldn't say necessarily like sneaky, sneaky.
You know that wall appears as a wall to these guys. Give me a stealth check with advantage, since you technically can't be seen.
That is a 21 critical success for Mordecai.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Nivitz.
That's an 11.
Yeah, it's with advantage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with advantage.
Yeah. I didn't crit fail that. That's right. I had advantage.
Okay. I had 19. Carl got 19.
Yeah, so Billy had a 19 as well.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me.
For the most part, you guys are able to kind of like steady Nivitz, who like runs up the stairs with his little gnome legs. You're like, fine, I'll carry you or whatever. But You look out through what you know appears to be a wall. You were able to walk through it, as we had previously discussed. You do see Graham sitting in like a fold-out pink lawn chair. He is flanked by several vampire spawn. He has like a cocktail in his hand with like a little umbrella and like a striped straw in it. And you can pretty clearly see that there's like blood in the cup, right? And he is just kind of kicked back, has his, you know, legs kicked out and they're crossed. And he's just sipping on this drink and looks to just be chilling.
Hey, Ugly. Can you hear me?
What? No.
Do you actually call out to him?
I mean, can he hear me?
Yeah, he absolutely hears you.
Oh, I was just saying that as a joke. I didn't know if you could hear us yet.
Okay.
Thought this was like audio seal thing.
I'll let that one slide. No more jokes, though, because if you joke, I'm going to assume that you did it. But yes, you would have no reason to believe he wouldn't be able to hear you since you were talking to him through the wall previously.
Yes.
I like your chair.
Oh.
Okay, you are talking to him?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking to him now.
Okay.
Weird voice in my head.
Mordecai.
What, Nivitz?
Mordecai, can we not, you know, do this before we get some rest? Because I don't know about you. I'm not feeling good.
He would set down his drink, stand up, looks to be kind of cracking his neck. He would hold out his hands and every single like one of his digits would pop really loudly. And he'd be like, well, welcome back. Told you I'd be waiting here. Now come on out. Quit being cowards.
Oh, we're not cowards. We're just pretty beat the fuck up. So I think we're gonna hang out here for a while.
We're really busy. We've got a lot of puzzles in here that we're trying to get taken care of. So just making sure you are still waiting and all.
Oh, yes, I've solved all the puzzles in there. Been in there several times.
Plain conjecture. No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
You said you didn't. You're lying to me.
No, been in the ruins many times.
Can I make an insight check to see if he's lying?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That is a 17.
Yeah, his ego is very wounded that you guys were able to go in there, and he is absolutely lying about it. He's trying to play it cool, although you do remember he specifically was like mad that you guys got in there before.
Okay, well, we're going to get back to doing all this fun stuff here in the, like, Cool Kids Club ruins, so...
It's taking you quite a long time. I just want to let you know, it's not that difficult.
Well, there's just a lot. There's, like, prizes and, like, you know, like, amusements and stuff.
Oh, man. I know. I know all of that.
It's like... Not to mention, there's a taco bar in here.
I don't really like tacos. Okay, well, that's good to know.
Oh, it's another reason not to go out there. You don't like tacos.
I'm going to take like a little pocket knife, and I am going to cast light on it, and I'm going to try to toss it through the threshold. Not at him. I'm not like throwing a dagger at him, but I'm just trying to test some.
Are you actually taking a dagger out of your inventory? Because I...
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you... Yeah. That works. There's a lit dagger at his feet.
Hey, magic can pass through the barrier, so we could probably just sit here and pelt him, right?
But yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. I'm assuming he'd move, but yeah.
So he would just leave? Back up?
Even being backed the fuck up is good for us, and we can get like a, I don't know, trick shot on him.
Well, now that I know you can throw things out of the wall, I think I'm going to take my chair and... Oh, man. He commands the vampire spawn to stand in front of him, and they kind of, like, groan and walk over and pick up his drink for him and right his chair, and he sits back down, and... All right, well, I'll be here waiting.
Okay, Billy's gonna head back downstairs.
Okay.
I do want to double-check the room itself, make sure I haven't missed any fucking stupid secret doors or anything.
Absolutely. Give me an investigation check.
Okay. That's a critical 24.
Yeah, I am going to say with the critical, and I absolutely want to encourage you guys checking out your surroundings. I'm going to go ahead and put a magic item in there. Left over from one of the other adventurers who has been here. Yeah, you find a small ring.
Yeah.
Assuming since you're resting, someone can ritual cast identify, right? Or do I need to like be a butthole about this?
No, we should be fine here.
Carl Isaac identify.
Okay.
Okay. So it's called Toll Ring. You can spend 10 minutes tuning this ring to 10-foot wide area. Once attuned to an area, as an action, you may instantly transport you and up to 8 willing creatures of your choice that you can see within range, or a single object that you can see within range, to the attuned area. If you target an object, it must be able to fit entirely inside a 10-foot cube, and it can't be held or carried by an unwilling creature. Mm-hmm. This transport costs 100 credits per creature. So I can attune a spot, and with this ring, I can teleport back to the said spot, correct?
Yep, it's like a recall.
Nice. Cool. Well.
Fucking beam me up, Scotty.
This will be extremely useful later, but not right now. But good find. Nice. I need to take a nap. I'm really tired.
Critical question here. Is it a space that's relative to the things around it, or is it like a point in space?
10-foot area? 10-foot wide area.
It is teleportation circle. It's okay. The same thing.
So we could teleport to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
If I had already attuned to the ship.
But it doesn't attune to a point in space, so if the ship leaves, we'd teleport into empty space, is what I'm trying to say.
No, yeah, it would be...
No, I mean, similar to like teleportation circle, if you attuned to an area in the ship and the ship moved, just like if the teleportation circle were to be like etched on a piece of stone or something, you would go with the stone.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not going to monkey paw that too hard.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird shit you have to ask when you have an adventure that's in space.
Yeah.
Very cool.
For real.
Super duper useful later down the road. Not so much right now. Billy's just gonna fucking rack out, I think.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what else we could do. I'm hurt. I'm tired. I gotta recoup for a few hours. And then I guess, I mean, he'll be there, right? He ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't even know with vampires sleep or whatnot, so...
I'm more than willing to give Carl a history check on that, since he canonically has watched vampire films.
That's true.
Let's see what Carl knows.
He RP'd it. I'm not going to be a butt.
13 in history?
13, yes. I mean, I will give you the basics that basically he either needs to have a coffin or a grave or a significant amount of like dirt from where he was killed to have like a resting spot. And he does need to rest.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell him that. Probably got a coffin. All the best vampires have coffins. Needs a rest.
Yeah. Is anyone doing anything while they're resting?
Nivitz is just going to like just completely pass out around the corner from the bottom of the stairs. He didn't just like slowly hobbles back down the stairs and he's just like, I'm done, and just falls asleep.
Yeah. Okay. Carl doing anything?
There's probably no way I can get my steel defender. I see that he's on the... Is he still out there?
Yeah. Yeah, you could probably have... If you can wake Nivitz up, you could probably mage hand it back.
Nivitz, get up.
What?
Get up, Nivitz.
Yes?
I know you're trying to sleep, but...
What?
They're not looking. You think you can drag my little steel boy in here?
That is about the most unusual question I've heard, but sure.
Yeah. He's right over there.
Nivitz, like, just kind of clambers back up the stairs and is, like, cast mage hands, and he's going to try to secretly and slowly pull the ruined body of the steel defender.
Roll a stealth check for me. Well, sleight of hand, actually. Sleight of hand? Stealth? Arcana? I don't know. Give me something.
Which one? Oh, Arcana? I could totally do Arcana.
I know this is weird, but like, it's your arcane hand, right? It's your mastery.
Well, it doesn't matter because I roll a nat 1.
You did roll a nat 1. You drop it off of the edge.
Thanks, Nivitz.
No, I'm joking.
Thanks for that.
Like, I don't even know how that's possible. It wasn't anywhere near the edge. I pushed it instead of pulling.
Appreciate it.
No, I think just you touch it and it goes, gotta save the treasure! And Graham's like, what? And he runs up to grab or snatch the steel defender from you, and I will give you a dexterity save to yoink that thing back and try and save it for Carl.
Yeesh.
Oh, God.
Okay, dex save. A 16.
That is good enough. You have our dear boy, our dear vampire clawed boy back.
Nice work, Nivitz. That was close.
Yes, yes. Huh. Well, I told you, I'm very fatigued. I'm going back to bed, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Nivitz is just going to hand like this destroyed little thing over, and it's going to be like, "Fuck, we got to get the treasure!" On and off as he like slowly gives it to him, and then Nivitz is going to hobble downstairs.
I'll use my ability to rebuild him once per day. I can rebuild his hardware if it's failing.
Awesome.
And then yeah, I'll rest with the rest of them.
Yeah, Mordecai has taken off the "I'm with stupid" shirt and rolled it up into a ball and just like set it behind his head. He's gonna like fucking nap on these stairs.
Just like the airport.
Right. The airport. So you guys rest? I would say, you know, maybe a couple times during the night you hear Graham shout down, "Yoo-hoo! Just checking on you." But you guys are fully rested. You are level 8 and you can do what you want.
Sidebar. Fourth ball, a little bit break right here. But this is not going well. I've already rolled 2 crit fails tonight.
You're getting them out of the way.
That's one way to look at it. Or that it's just not going to go my way. Let's go with getting them out of the way. All right.
Nobody has like a cloaking device or anything.
Well, yeah, I do. That's what I was going to suggest. But I don't have enough of them for everybody. But Billy, if we work on it together, I think we could probably make some more, right?
Billy, wake up. Billy.
Huh? What?
Billy, wake up. We're talking about a plan.
I told you. What?
I do need to address something really quick. The only food you guys had is Bella Bites. So did you eat? I have to ask.
I could have swore I had some rations in my backpack.
You got 2 cans of beans and you mixed them up with jerky and ate them before you came. If you have rations in your inventory, mark them off. You can distribute the rations. I know you have a backpack full of Bella Bites, but I do need to know what you guys are eating because you do have to eat.
I have a shit ton of rations. I imagine they're probably more nutritionally balanced than the Bella Bites. So I'm going to eat some fucking rations. And I have enough of them to go around. So
yeah, I've got some rations too.
I know for a fact that 2 of you don't have rations in your inventory, so please ask for them and please mark them off.
I was about to.
Boyo.
Hey, Mordecai? Yeah, can I have some of those? All I got are these, like,
disgusting teriyaki, human. Yeah.
Spicy and original man flesh.
I toss both Nivitz and Billy some rations.
I pulled one out of my bag of holding there.
So, Billy, you're awake now. Yeah.
What do you want?
Mordecai grabs Billy by the armor.
Wake up, Billy!
What? What do you want?
The kid was talking to you. All right. We got a plan. Billy.
What? I got a plan. It's to sleep so that I can get up and so I can use my stuff and I could fight and I could leave. Why are you bothering me?
It's morning, Billy. Or as morning as we can conceive of it being morning. Because there's no sun.
What is it you want to do then? What is the plan?
The kid can make a cloaking device.
And
wait, you can make a cloaking device?
Yep, sure can.
Why isn't our ship cloaked?
It's a personal cloaking device.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's fair.
Okay then. And
do we want to do that?
Do you have a device that will make these people quiet?
Let me check my bag, but I don't think so.
Carry Nivitz?
he does, in fact, have a point about that. We haven't been the most stealthy of groups. By no one's fault. By no one's fault of their own. It just happens.
Do you have, like, utility spells or anything like that? Anything that can, I don't know, float us over?
Sure, I have lots of very utility-like spells. I mean, I can hold things down with black tentacles. I have wondrous spells. Now, can you be more specific?
There's this guy. He made this, like, frisbee. And everybody sat on the frisbee. And it was, like, frisbeeing about. Can you make a giant frisbee?
Well.
A frisbee. I mean, a frisbee is very small, to be honest.
No, this was like a 5-foot frisbee.
You know what?
I don't think a frisbee. A 5-foot frisbee.
Yeah, it's a big frisbee, big magic frisbee. We could lay on it on like that movie that Carl showed me.
Carl, what movie is he talking about?
Mission Improbable 5.
Oh my!
It was called Gigantic. It was about like a. It was about a giant spaceship and some rich people are on it and some poor people are on it and it drifted off and there was the big frisbee that. She was like, never let go, Zarlak, and he let go, and he died in space, and froze. But anyway, we could all climb on the frisbee, there's plenty of room on the frisbee, and then we can cloak and drift out of here, but if you don't have the frisbee spell, I don't know what to tell you.
I do have the spell Tensor's Floating Disc, if that's what you're asking.
That I is do the have frisbee that, spell. That I'm trying to...
yeah.
Okay, but I would have to prepare it now in the morning, if that's what we're going to do.
Well, it's not morning yet.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, everyone slapped covered that. It is morning.
Okay. All right. Okay.
How long can people hold their breath? They could just all hop in your bag of holding.
Oh, shit. God, I'm just joking. Had a great suggestion from heavens, guys. I mean, I do have this bag of holding.
I will tell you, I do have a helmet that could help me with that, but.
How long can one live in a bag of holding?
How long can people hold their breath? If there one thing goes wrong, you suffocate your entire party.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And survive up to the number of minutes equal to 10 divided by the number of creatures. Man, I feel like trapped like a rat in a cage here, guys. Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage.
I'm just going to say it. You know, sneaking is all fine and dandy, but I don't see many options here. I mean, we could do the old, boom and run. I mean, how much firepower can we put out through the gate in one go before charging through?
Yeah.
Decent amount.
Bring a valid point.
Really know what else to do, and I am ready to leave.
Right. Well, I'm not against fighting.
So I say, we go right up to the wall, we throw all the ordnance we got, and then we run. We bolt, right thrown through.
Any way we can knock him off that cliff again? That was badass, Mordecai.
I mean, he does fly, so that wasn't like the most effective tactic we had.
It certainly helped.
Fair.
I mean, he's got friends, he's going to be a tough one, but we also, you know, got a little bit firepower back in the tank. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got some more of my spell juice.
Feeling pretty good myself.
Right. So, I mean, if we want to do this tactically, yeah, you know, if two of you got big old brave balls on you, we send you out invisible. You try to get the flank on him, and then we hit him from two ends.
Not a bad plan.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I can cast invisibility on one of us. I'm willing to go.
What you little guy? You got anything in your little book there? Make you invisible? You seem like the one who's gonna need the most head start if it goes south.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
You have very short legs, and you're not quiet at all. So I mean, you're gonna get caught, kind of like you have been throughout this entire journey.
What? I take offense to that. I was not the one under the little oozlet's spell, now was I?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's my point. You deny it all you want, but I did not fall under her abilities.
No, you just got choked and dropped off a cliff, and Mordecai saved your life.
I never fell off a cliff.
Yeah, you absolutely did.
I never fell off a cliff.
We had to catch you.
No.
Yeah, you did fall a couple feet.
I almost fell off a cliff.
Well, you fell. And we're caught 100%. That was the thing that happened.
Made that motto.
Well, then, I guess let's get ready.
Are you and me then, Billy, or how's that going?
I mean, I can. Who's
invisible?
I can go if I could do that.
So me and you sneak around.
We gotta take out the underlings as fast as possible. Give us the best advantage to win this. We want to win this quick. The big ugly's down underneath the bridge. Let's not forget that. We got to move quick and fast. If it goes south, we got to run.
And there's no guarantee in anything if we run. So
Mordecai rubs his neck.
The hope is that we could kill this bastard. So if we can drop ordnance on him, if we can get in position, drop ordnance.
Cast your spells that you're casting. If you're doing invisibility, and then move where you're going and give me stealth checks with advantage since you're invisible.
All right.
I will also allow you to rename your Tensor's Floating Disc spell to Mordecai's Oversized Frisbee.
I mean, I could make a giant oversized frisbee if that's what you want, but it's not invisible.
Okay, Carl is invisible. Carl, where are you going?
I'm going to sneak around this wall here
and
try and get as far away from him as I can.
Okay.
The vampire is kind of like to one side of this like large bridge in front of us. And so there's like a little bit of a pathway that's out of harm's way to the left of him. And we're trying to
near this tree here.
Cross the bridge.
Yep. We've cast invisibility and I need the stealth check.
Yep.
Okay.
Wish me luck, everybody.
21 for Carl's stealth.
Okay. So Carl is passed.
All right, guys, wish me luck. I'm also going to prepare a spell.
Okay. So you're going to roll a stealth check and you're going to walk by?
Yep.
Okay. 17.
Right.
Is just enough to pass. That is, you have to roll a 17 basically to pass.
All right. I am going to summon the F. I'm taking my, before we start this, I am already frontal cortex and I'm going to have my cannon up as well. I've already taken the health off of me.
Are you doing invisibility also?
No. I'm standing at the gate ready to charge forward here. Or unload. Okay.
Let's go ahead and get into initiative then, and I'll give you guys a surprise round.
Okay.
Excellent.
4.
An 11 from Billy Boone.
Carl got a 4. Beautiful 4.
Yeah, his passive perception is fucking 17.
Oh my good God.
I have an initiative 8.
Alright, that's a 4.12 for your boy. Mordecai, so I'm gonna go way late.
Okay, so we're in surprise round, so the spawn and the vampire do not get to do anything. Billy Boom, you're up first, my friend.
All right, so Billy Boom has his overclock, giving him increased AC, advantage on dexterity saving throws, and gains an additional action on each of his turns. That action can only be used to take the attack action. One weapon attack only, dash, disengage, hide, or use an object action. So Billy will rear up, and I think I want to start. Ooh, not sure, but I think this is what I want to do. So Billy's just gonna reach his arm out, and a little nozzle end is gonna pop off of one of these pipes hanging off of his armor. He's gonna fire his wrist-mounted paint stripper, and a line of acid sprays like a fire hose out of it. Dex saving throw, or take 2d4 damage, and on the beginning of each of their turns, they will take 2d4 more damage unless they spend an action to get it off of them.
So,
a DC 15.
Let me see if the I actually don't know if the surprise condition does anything to dexterity saves. It doesn't, which is a little weird. I don't know how I feel about that, but I'm not going to homebrew a rule in the middle of it.
It's those one-piece reflexes. It's that second sense.
Right, yeah. Fail, pass. So the third is able to get out of the way. Is there any effect if they save?
There is not.
Okay. And then I am going to give Graham disadvantage on this. I'm going to be a butthole to him because he's literally sitting in a lawn chair. I'm sorry.
fair enough. I'll take
home
that.
Rule rules, if you're sitting in a lawn chair when someone sprays acid at you, disadvantage on the dexterity save. And he fails.
Excellent.
What?
And
my eyes! It smells terrible.
Yes it does, nerd. And then I'm gonna use the old face fucker and fire around off on this first lady here.
Okay.
For 11 Damn. Force damage.
And that absolutely hits. 22 hits.
Nice. And then I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to drink. I'm going to use my bonus, my extra action that I get to use an object, and I'm going to drink a rejuvenation potion.
Smart.
To start this combat.
Ooh.
Very smart.
Billy ain't fucking around. Good Let's stuff. Get him, boys! And she's pushed. And she's pushed. Yeah, push her right here in front of Mr. Man.
All right. Nivitz, this is your surprise round.
All right.
Welcome to Nivitz's surprise round, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, my character sheet closed for whatever reason. And I had to reopen it, and now I have to adjust things so I can see them at the hand.
Hey, on things you really don't want to happen.
Yeah. All right, so Nivitz is going to target the group of vampires, and he's going to cast Fireball.
Yeah, say the thing.
Say the thing.
Do the thing.
Fireball!
Never again will he cast Fireball. No.
You better.
Oh, dang.
And here's... Yes.
So one of them has failed. Ooh, babe.
Graham rolls a 6. How much damage is that, Nivitz?
32.
32 fucking damage. However, all three of his spawn pass with a 22, a 22, and a 21.
Only 16 each of them.
But Graham takes the brunt of that, and he is enraged. His little umbrella in his drink does that, like, comic book burn where it's like, you know what I mean?
Covered in acid, lit on fire.
It's unacceptable! Let me get out of my lawn chair! Why am I sitting here?
And then as a bonus action, I'm going to telekinetic push the vampire that's closest to me.
Okay, so the save for that is...
I assume it's a 16, a strength save. With the DC 16 on it?
Yeah, it's 16.
Would have comically made Graham fall backwards out of his lawn chair if he failed the record. They're pushed back away from you 5 feet, correct?
Yes.
Okay. She rolls a 13, and she is pushed with your mind. It's telekinesis, Kyle.
Now it's Carl.
I'm going to move a couple feet away. That way they don't... They can go attack the spot that I was invisible at, but not where I'm actually at.
Well, you're visible now that you've attacked.
Oh, that's wrong.
Yeah, he's got greater invisibility.
Yeah, I have greater invisibility.
Oh.
I'm invisible. I was like, Ooh. Wait. Like, I'm invisible.
I don't even know who to be angry with.
Oh.
It's a ghost.
Nice.
I am going to do Carl's favorite spell. And shoot him with a web.
Okay.
20-foot.
Oh, my drink! God damn it!
Oh, man.
Here. Okay. Face squeeze. And then I'm going to run alongside Nivitz, sir.
Are you, though? Just saying, are you running alongside Nivitz?
Well, I guess I don't know if he's there or not, but I am going to move.
What's your save, Carl?
Carl's spell save is a 16.
Okay. So I rolled a 20, a 14, and a 6 for the spawn. So two of them are trapped by this sticky web. One is able to... I don't know what a dexterity save in a web looks like. Because you're still where the web is.
Right, I guess she just dodged it. Like, I imagine it's like a Spider-Man blaster, and she just dodged it. So she's not covered in it.
Sure. So they are restrained, I believe. Yep, they are restrained. And then Graham is going to make this with disadvantage. He's still in his lawn chair.
Ooh, never had a chance.
Passes with a crit, 24, and a 20. So he's able to save his drink, basically.
Very nice. So as I run, I yell back at wherever Nivitz might be, and I say, Nivitz, those webs are flammable! And I have my turn.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Now Mordecai.
Okay. I am going to run along the left side of the web so I don't get... Because if I walk through the web, will I get stuck? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to try to run...
Well, you might get stuck.
Huh?
You might get stuck.
Okay. I'm going to run around it just in case. I'm going to whip out... that burnt revolver from the back of my jeans, Zeal, and I'm going to shoot it once at one of the vampire spawn and once again at the other vampire spawn. 11, I'm assuming doesn't hit. and a 14. Does a 14 hit?
Well, they are restrained. I think you have advantage. So the first attack is a 12, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
That misses. The 18, however, does hit.
Okay. And she is pushed back 10 feet.
Okay. So I'm assuming the forced movement breaks.
I think so.
The web. Let me double check that. That you're able to be forced moved. Yeah. Okay. That works. She so
blast her off the edge of the fucking bridge.
Hell yeah.
She is covered in webs, struggling, sees you and hisses, and then you just send her off the ledge.
Whee!
And then after a moment, you hear just the disgustingest sound of like jello hitting the floor, splat.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to finish up the rest of my movement, and I think Nivitz is closest, so he would probably see this. The light that's casting, you know, the shadow under my feet does not move, but my shadow outstretches and, like, dives along the ground towards Grant, and another shadowy version of me appears. Right next to Grant.
Graham.
Not Grant.
I'm Grant.
Aren't we all Grant?
Aren't we all Grant?
No, you're not all.
Yeah. That is my action. And my shadow is in the defense position.
Got it. And that is going to be normal initiative. We've got our
first chick. This person takes 6 damage. Yeah. Acid. Acid damage.
That poison continues to burn. Let's see. They're going to go for Billy. So you'll get an attack of opportunity as they... Mordecai, your shadow, will get an attack of opportunity as you... Yep. As they leave your reach there.
Kapow. 11.
11 does not hit.
Yeah.
And she strikes at you with her claws, Billy. 11 to hit and a 21 to hit.
And that one will hit me.
And it's going to be 11 damage that you take. The other spawn is going to make a strength check. 21 and bursts free from the web.
He takes 6 damage as well.
Thank you for being on top of your extra damage rolls. What a fucking... role model for us all, guys. If you're gonna cast abilities like that, you gotta stay on top of it. And they're going to start heading. Carl, you're visible, correct?
Correct.
I'm gonna start running towards you. So when they exit this, so the way that it's set up, basically the spawn and Graham are off to the north side of this passageway, and Mordecai has put his shadow in between the group, which is on the south side, and them. So when she heads down that passageway, she's going to be taking an attack of opportunity from your shadow.
Mm-hmm. And she, I rolled a 27, which is 6 damage, and the shadow also has sentinel, so she is frozen.
She's unable to move. She gets hooked with that scythe, hisses angrily, not happy about this whatsoever. And also, this thing does not lose its reaction, so you know you need to be able to kind of like imagine how fast this thing is moving. It is unreal how quickly Mordecai's shadow is lashing around with this scythe.
Baby.
And Graham stands up, takes the last sip of his drink, says, "Precious, our friends are here!" And you hear a rumble from the ground below. And he is not a dummy, so he's going to disengage and head over towards Coral. Not going anywhere, are you?
Yeah, I was hoping to get out of here.
Well, unfortunately for you, you've broken all of my rules. You were a guest in my home. I fed you dinner. You broke all of my things.
What did
now
you get?
Now you're paid. I think I'll keep you around, little boy.
No.
You can pour me drinks for the rest of your life. Or death. For the rest of your death.
God, I hope not.
For Sentinel, it says creatures provoke an opportunity attacks from you even if they take the disengage action before leaving your reach. So, I'm sorry. I knew I had something in there. Yeah, Sentinel. I'm going to
I knew I had something. So that would have been in this square.
Yeah. That's a 26 to hit.
That absolutely hits. And he didn't say any of that. He more was like, ah, I'm unhappy right now. I had a really cool line I was going to say to the boy over there.
I just had a really horrifying interaction with you in my head as I saw you run forward, too.
Yeah. A little hallucination. Sorry about that, Grant. I was like, I didn't want to say anything unless it was real, and it was real.
No, you should absolutely say something. And just as a note, you did see him regain some health when he took his turn.
Oh, yeah, wait. He took this, though. 9 damage.
Oh, hell yeah, from the acid.
He took this, though.
Oh, not 9. Sorry. It was 3. That was 2d6s. It was 2d4. 3 damage.
3 still something.
Yeah.
I guess he is a dummy. So I did say I took the disengage, so I can't take any other actions. He's just stuck. Mordecai's winning. That's going to be Billy Boom. You do hear rumbles beneath the ground.
Yeah, okay. Billy's going to start with... first off, I am at full health again. Well, as full as it can be with my max dropped. With my rejuvenation potion running.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to fire my double barrel. 18 to hit.
Absolutely hits. On the one in front of you?
Yep. 10 fire damage and 7 force damage. And then I'm going to hit him with the shoulder-mounted gun, 23 for 4 damage, and I push her 5 feet away.
Yes, you do.
And then I am going to move it or lose it. I'm going to move over here near Mordecai's thingy and make sure I don't spell cantrip fire. Doo-doo-doo. And that'll be it. That'll be all she wrote.
Okay, that's going to be you, Mr. Invisible Mage Man, Nivitz.
I'm going to move, and then I'm going to, let's see, appropriate spacing, and I'm going to cast another fireball on the big guy, Graham, and his vampire spawn. I'll try not to encompass my friends.
Fair enough. And
that is 3 people in range, or are you going to cast it?
I'm going to hit.
Well, yeah.
That should be good. I shouldn't.
That'll hit Carl. Show me. We're measuring distances, everybody. Show me where you're casting it. Oh yeah, you can cast it over to the side here.
Just like I don't. It just has to envelop them.
Right.
Okay, you got it.
So Nivitz tactically throws his fireball
shots at
the northern edge of this cavern raft we're on. What do you call it? Like a
land bridge. Earth
land bridge. Yeah.
We're going across the land bridge. In a cavern, underground,
in the sky,
fails his save again. Can't catch a break with this fire.
Graham is not doing well. Despite all of his regeneration, you guys are beating him into a pulp right now.
27 damage, and I'm gonna telekinetic push again. It's a bonus action.
He rolls a 19, which passes. He's going to take a legendary action at the end of your turn, and he is going to try to move again. So I need another Shadow Boy attack of opportunity as Graham tries to run off towards the source of that fireball.
Does he take one from the shadow and from me, since he is between us?
No.
Why not? I'm just curious.
I would think so. That's...
You have 10 feet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's not going to... Obviously, I can't see your weapon, but he's not going to take it in. He would just squeeze through this space and then head over. Okay. He's a smart boy. Oops, I clicked the wrong token. God damn it.
Okay.
So the 14 does miss him, and he is able to get over towards the source of the fireball and Carl. And I think I smell the little gnome here.
Nivitz is up disturbingly quiet. In his mind, he's just like, no, he doesn't.
So, Carl, it is your turn.
Carl pulls out the woodcutter's axe and lays into Graham with a devastatingly quick attack. I'm going to use my metamagic adept to use one of my metamagic points to quicken booming blade. Does that hit? 17 to hit?
It sure does, yes.
And then I'm going to hit him with another booming blade for 17 to hit.
Oh my god. So what's the total damage then?
Oh my goodness.
Total damage will be 25 and 9 if he moves.
Okay. He, yeah, those lay into him. You start chopping this vampire with a literal axe.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I hear Billy back there yelling, "That's a good one," at me. And I say, "Steel Defender, keep up on Billy." And he's going to dash to be right next to Billy. My little Steel Defender boy runs up next to you, Billy, and gives you a salute. And that's my turn.
That is you, Mordecai.
I am going to pull my burnt rifle out towards another one of the vampire spawn and try to blast at it twice. It's an 11 to hit and a 28 critical hit. So she takes a total of 14 damage and is kicked back 10 feet from me.
That is right on the edge. I'm going to give her a dexterity saving throw. So you push her back 10 feet and she is just right there on the edge. And she is able to claw on for dear life. She is hanging off of the edge right now by her claws.
Okay. And then I will make 10, 20, 30. I'll go all the way up towards green. And I am going to go ahead and use Daggering Smite. So as a bonus action, creature with a melee attack, it does some cool shit. So that's just cast on me. I haven't attacked yet, but it's basically readying it up for my next move.
Right, yeah. It definitely explained what that looks like.
Yeah, he is like just dragging the scythe behind him and it's cutting through the earth. And fire is just like kind of billowing out of this scythe as I run up. And I want to say like the scythe, like the tip of it kind of opens up like a maw. And it's like drooling, dripping this like molten metal as I'm getting ready on my next turn to slice into this fucking van boy.
All right. You guys have him on the ropes. The ground shakes, though, and our little friend returns. A massive tentacled abomination. You see its tentacles start to, you know what I mean, all around you. And then this thing pulls itself up. Give me a perception check, guys.
All right. Okay.
Let's do it.
I got a 16.
14.
16 from Billy Boom.
Wow.
15 from Mordecai.
With the 14. That's great, guys.
Yeah, we got like a good little array there.
Graham shouts out like, "Huh. I'm glad you're here. This is not going as well as it went last time." But you all look and you see there's something different. This monster, this abomination, its eye, which you noticed last time, was like this disgusting, like purple, you know, cat eye almost looking thing. It's completely black now. And it whips out at Graham.
Oh,
and barely misses. Slams on the ground next to it. It's like, "What? What? You missed our friends here, Precious. What are you doing?"
"Oh my, oh my. How the turntables."
"How the turntables have turned." This vampire spawn is going to make a strength check to pull herself up off the ledge.
She takes 3 damage as she's doing 16. That.
Dude, love that spell. Nice work on that spell.
Yeah. Acid continues to burn away her undead flesh.
How long is that for? Oh, it's until they take an action. Or it's a minute?
It's however long and shit. It is a 30-foot line concentration. Yeah, 1 minute. So 10 rounds.
Did you say it's concentration?
Yeah, I'm concentrating. Oh, no. No, because I'm not concentrating. I just spit the acid. It's just on them.
Okay.
It is concentration.
Is it?
Well, he doesn't have any other spells up right now, so it's not me.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I wouldn't have let that go. Yeah, it's pretty sick. I've been waiting to use it. I forgot I had it because I renamed it, and then Cody brought it up, and I was like, "I forgot this existed."
Yeah, it's a pretty decent spell.
Yeah, they have to take a whole action to get it off of them.
Pretty dope.
She pulls herself up, and she has half of her movement. She is not all that intelligent or adept at battle, so she is going to try and take a step in at Billy, and that will activate an attack of opportunity from your shadow, Mordecai.
Yep. That is a 22 hit.
And you nope her right back where she was, and she hisses, claws at the air between Bobby or Billy and her.
Get wrecked, nerd.
And the other spawn is probably, the other spawn is probably also going to run up to Billy. So once again, you get to do that.
Two attacks with that.
Kadoosh, 16.
Once again, she is stopped with insane speed. This shadow is just batting everyone off, defending this point on the bridge.
Takes another 4 damage as well.
And takes another 4 damage as well.
The acid.
The acid.
Pretty dope.
That acid Graham, is MVP right now. Well, the shadow.
Graham, at the end of that thing's turn,
takes 8 damage.
Alright. Well, no, it's not his turn yet. This is a legendary act.
Oh, it is his turn, though, isn't it?
It is his turn after he takes his... Calm down! Dude, right. Wait!
He's going to
take his legendary action, take his turn, and then take another.
He's got an itchy crack, I'm just saying. Definitely got an itchy crack.
No, I know, it's coming. He can feel that it's about to hurt him. He is going to attack Carl, though, first. No, he's not. He botches. He rolls a 1.
Fail.
Because of that itchy crack.
And then he gets itchy crack. And he takes 8. Acid damage, and then heals up a little bit of it. He is furious. You guys have been rebuffing him, basically everything he has tried to do. He cannot land an attack. You ruined his drink. His tentacle monster is not cooperating with him. He's like off center. His eyes look crazed, and he's just like, this is unacceptable. And he is going to swing wildly at Carl for a 13. Misses again. One more time, 20.
I will use my shield spell.
He does not like that at all. Bounces against your shield, and he just, I think at this point, would just fall feral. I think he's just like hissing. Oh, not wow. Not talking anymore. He's
We've
just...
We pissed him off, guys.
Full hiss.
He hates Billy. That spell.
She's hanging, right? Off the ledge?
She has climbed back up. Okay. She's standing there.
So I'm going to move around her over to here, and then I'm going to spin around, pull out my modified beam cutter out from the bottom of my backpack, and I'm going to open fire. I'm going to take a shot at the far back one. 16 okay. To hit.
That hits.
5 fire damage, 4 force damage.
Okay.
I'm going to fire again. Whoops. Fire again at the one closer to me. 24 to hit for 4 fire damage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to fire my last beam at Graham. 12 to hit. My final beam lances through and past and misses Graham.
Yep.
I my cannon on my face fucker on the shoulder spins around and opens fire. Oh my god, another 12. And that'll miss him too. He's moving too quick with his feral ass.
Yeah, hissing and spitting and punched over more than before.
I'm gonna use my bonus to move another 30 feet over here.
You'll either need to take an attack of opportunity or give me a dexterity check to squeeze through these.
I'll take the dex save. It's a 13. Okay. I think
that's good enough. I would have made that like a 10. It's just like, you know, make sure you don't curl yourself off the cliff or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Good enough. Yeah, it's due to the proximity of the
Yeah.
Here. Sure. Nivitz, invisible boy.
Nivitz is gonna take a step back.
Well, okay. He is fully enraged right now. So I think he's going to take his legendary actions a little bit more. So he's going to swing at Carl. Carl's shield is still up, but like I said, he's a little crazy right now.
Oh, he gets me. That's enough.
He grapples you with that.
Ugh.
Okay, Nivitz.
Hey. Well, I'm going to take a step back, and then I'm going to...
Give me a stealth check.
Okay, I can do that. Well...
Okay, I'm going to let him attack you. Since he has passive perception 17, I'm going to let him attack you with disadvantage, with his free hand here. 11?
That just 11 does not hit.
I have to ask, because you're a mage, so... Okay.
Yeah, wizard, you never know, right?
I got my handy dandy
What did we describe it as? Back to the Future.
You have the puffy vest on?
Puffy vest, yes.
You have the puffy vest on? Awesome.
I have the puffy vest on. The handy dandy Back to the Future puffy vest.
Of cowardice.
Well, oh. I was just going to say it's the puffy vest of, you know, Back to the Future. But fine.
Cowardice.
Cowardice.
All right. And as I start moving, I'm going to Fortune Ray him.
That absolutely hits.
It's all three of the... All three of them are just blasting him out, so he's like...
Okay, so he takes how much damage?
23 fire damage. And if it's going to finish running away.
Okay. You guys want, like, some free DM help here?
Sure.
I mean, I think Carl wants it.
So this is just a fun thing about D&D 5th edition. Your telepathic push says that the target can choose to fail, right?
Yeah. Oh, duh. Yeah, you're so, right. Totally.
So you could push... You can't push a grappler out of a grapple, but you can push a grapplee out of a grapple. So if you push Carl 5 feet and he willingly fails it, he's not grappled anymore. Sick.
Thank you, free DM advice. I will appreciate that and actually telekinetic push then on the Carl. Because I was just about to do it to... I was just going to do it to him and push him right next to Mordecai.
Thank you, Nivitz. My life flashed before my eyes.
Well, are you saying anything?
Well,
yeah, do you say something?
Are you saying anything, Nivitz, Mr. Invisible? I need to know after every turn.
Oh, no. I'm staying quiet as I run.
Well, I will need a intelligence check from Carl then, because he's never... You guys have never communicated this. It's never happened before.
This is true.
So I need an intelligence check from Carl. Let's say DC 15, if you can pass that.
Well, the 19 intelligence.
19.
Okay, then you can willingly choose to fail that.
I've seen him being blasting people. I've never seen him do it before, but I've been seeing him do it this fight, and I've noticed a fucking push of energy push me, and I just, Jesus, take the wheel. We can just let go.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Nivitz, take the wheel. And just like that, Nivitz was carrying me, and there was only one set of footprints.
A vein pops out of the side of, like, Graham's head. The madness in his eyes is just incredible.
All right.
And he can only use his legendary action to move, so he is going to try and step up, and... That does not provoke an attack of opportunity because it's already within your reach.
Mm-hmm.
So that is then... Carl, it's your turn.
Well, Graham, I'm going to give it to you again. I use my metamagic adept to quicken a booming blade. Kaboom. It has advantage because it's with the woodcutter's axe.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, boy!
27 to hit.
That hits,
and then I lay into him again with... Ooh, but a 15 probably misses.
The 15 does miss.
But it is a 16 damage and 4 thunder damage if he moves.
He also takes the last thunder damage because he did move. He used his legendary action.
Correct. So that was 9 damage.
Yeah, he takes that 9 damage.
Right up.
And I'm going to maneuver around him over here.
Okay.
And I'm going to command my steel defender to dash over to us. Come on, boy. Can't leave you behind. He's going to get right next to, right in between Mordecai and I.
We gotta find the treasure! Arr, for you! You killed me!
He's going to use his last legendary action to try and grab you again, Carl.
Miss.
And he misses. They'll write a storybook about this someday. Graham Bellaton's very, very bad day. Mordecai, that's you.
Carl, as Graham tries to, like, grab for you and, like, biffs it as he's kind of punched over, behind him you see Mordecai and his, like, tattoos are, like, bursting with like, fire, and these, like, kind of sparks and embers kind of shoot out of it as he's speaking in some strange language. And I cast good ol' Hexblade's Curse on Graham. And then I am going to attack him twice. And this also does, if I hit, it does Phantasmal Killer damage. Or not Phantasmal Killer, Staggering Smite.
Yeah.
So that's a 24 to hit.
Staggering Smite.
That's 17 damage plus He has to make it like a wisdom save.
Or take 16 more.
What type of damage is the staggering smite?
Psychic.
Psychic.
That for a second it was radiant. I was like, oh boy.
No, I wish.
Vampires do not like radiant damage.
Rolls a 19.
He takes half of that damage, so he takes 7 more damage on top of the 17.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I rolled really poorly for that staggering smite. And then I am going to attack again with my dread scythe.
It's above average. 13's
one above average.
Do I have advantage with Hexblade's Curse?
I don't think so. I think you just get the extended crit.
Yes, you do.
But he is very hurt. Anything else on your turn there, Mordecai?
I use my bonus action and my action. So I think I am stuck.
The black-eyed tentacle monster makes a tentacle lash against Graham for 17. He has an AC of 16, and he has 17. He does 22 damage. He has 17 hit points. The tentacle monster squishes Graham, just flattens him into the ground.
Another squish sound.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it like lands. You've seen this thing swinging around. It is massive. It is so large. You have been kind of dodging around this thing, and I mean, it finally connects. And I mean, it's just like a puddle of Graham where he was just standing.
Oh, how you like us now?
And you, it kind of lets go of all of the rocks and the path that it is holding onto and starts to slither back down into the darkness where it came from. And you hear a voice come up through the cavern, and it just says,
"We're even now, Mordecai. You know what to do."
What?
Do we all understand the voice?
Nivitz has and Carl has.
Oh yeah, you've heard the voice before. You recognize it.
Oh, it's that voice?
Yeah.
It's that voice, and it's that black eye.
I look at Mordecai. Is that what you did?
I think Mordecai is just going to keep walking towards the exit.
Nice.
We can talk about that later.
Should we kill the others so they're not chasing after us?
Well, so the spawn are like hissing, and I think with that they are going to try to like spider climb away.
I give some parting love and fire off the bolts. My shotgun goes off. My shoulder-mounted rifle hits. She goes down. And I...
Let's go, boys!
Nivitz is going to go run over to the Graham squishy body and then quickly pat it down for anything.
So it is essentially turning into a mist pretty immediately. As you touch it, it would start to incorporealize. You guys can give me a history check.
23.
So Nivitz, with Carl's kind of help describing this creature to you and such, you know, you would have heard about, you know, familiar creatures and so on and so forth, and you'd know it is going to be vulnerable for, I mean, 23 is high. You would guess you probably have about an hour if you wanted to kill it. That it is going to essentially retreat to, as Carl said, its resting place. He had already explained this before. And you know that it is not, Graham is not dead, per se. He is, this mist starts to swirl. It floats past Billy and Mordecai even, escapes through the door. You would know that it's vulnerable for about an hour and that he will be pretty much full strength after he rests.
Right.
So if you want any of his shit, you're going to have to go find his tomb.
Will, guys?
Or coffin, or whatever.
We got a limited amount of time, I think. Maybe an hour, maybe two at max. But I think if we, you know, want to kill, we're going to have to do it fast, or we just get off this damn planet. Up to you guys. And Nivitz going to keep running. Keep in mind, this is just an invisible, like a voice coming from nowhere still.
Right.
Is it? I know this is a dumb question, but...
By the way, this is Nivitz.
Yeah, I assume that you've done a lot of weird things since we've met, so I just assume that... You are incorporeal.
Mordecai, it's because I'm a ghost.
Okay. I've seen ghosts. Ghosts I can at least see. Sometimes. Anyway.
I know this is a dumb question, but is this coffin that you're talking about, is it on the map?
He gave us a map of his mansion, right?
Oh, I would look at the map of the factory that he gave us.
No. The location of his coffin is not on the map.
Yeah. Yeah, Mordecai, I mean, I see that you are here when we were in the dining room and says that, you know, you are here in the dining room, but doesn't have a coffin is here spot.
I'd be willing to give you guys an insight check.
What if we ask the map? Did you try asking the map?
The map.
Oh, God.
Yo, map, where's the coffin at, bro? Hook us up with this info.
15 on an insight check.
Okay.
12. I got a 1.
That's why Carl's talking to the map right now.
Billy got me. Mostly because he doesn't care. Billy's planning on leaving right now.
Yeah, I think we should just leave.
Yeah, without a wild success, I don't really have anything to give you other than you would guess someone of his ego. His coffin's probably in the mansion, not in the factory.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I say we get the hell out of here, guys.
Okay.
Works for me.
Carl, don't you have a nuke?
No, I know you guys are leaving, but hold on. There's like places to walk through here. So you do have to go through the power plant. The zombies are backpedaling. They're not going to react to you this time. You know, obviously Graham does not want them not pedaling.
Neither does the village.
Right. So that would have been resolved. There would likely be vampire spawn in the processor room. Already starting to put that back together. There is nobody on the tunnel. Where you fought the zombie beholder and that is clear. Are you guys doing anything or stopping anywhere, or are you simply exiting, or describe to me any of that?
I mean, Billy would be making every attempt to get the fuck out of here before Graham comes back at full strength and with a new respect for how strong we are, which would bring more of his minions with him next time, I'm assuming.
Nivet's suggestion would be we either, if we're not killing him, we just gotta go. Don't stop for anything. We just gotta go.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay.
Unless we're looking for his body, wherever he is, then.
Usually when you crash a party, you run as fast as you can after said crashing of party.
Bring a valid point.
Yep. Okay. So you guys go through all of that. You do not touch anything. You are at the mansion. Is leaving the mansion, as I understand it, correct?
Yes.
Are the minions just walking around the mansion? The business is normal?
The vampire spawn are not reacting to you right now.
Right on.
Okay. You leave the mansion, and let's go ahead and end this episode here before we hop into essentially a little interlude ending this whole Terra arc. You guys have survived the factory. You have kind of defeated Graham. You've broken down his processor, completed the lost ruin, found new power, all of that super fun stuff. And yeah, that's Terra, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously there'll be a little bit of fallout, I don't know why I said that. They'll be going through the town and going back to the ship and grabbing Max from Mikey's pub and all of that stuff. But for the most part, this is we've completed this, and only one person died. Not too bad. Not too shabby.
Yeah.
And leave us a review. Tell your friends. All that fun stuff. We will see you guys next week for episode 28 of The Homebrew.
Yeah. Oh, and for all of you who want to be judged, go look at our merch. Because it's officially out there and you can get it.
Yeah, that shirt's dope.
Yep. Check out the merch store, homebrewpodcast.com. Good night, guys.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.
Good night.
Thanks for listening, listeners. Our story has come to a close for the week, and that means it's time to thank our listener sponsors, starting with Samuel Pierce, who shall forever be emblazoned upon the Homebrew Wall of Fame as our first Crusher Mania Season Pass holder. Thanks for believing in us, Sam.
As well as Ryan, a longtime listener.
Find out about our Patreon offerings at patreon.com/thehomebrew, and we'll see you next week.